Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship at Greystone Baptist Church. It is good to be together in the house of the Lord this morning. Greystone is a place where all are welcome, no matter who you are, where you come from, what you do in your professional life, or what you do in your spare time. We believe here that there is a place for all to belong, and we're grateful that you've chosen to be with us in worship today. If you are our guest this morning, we're especially glad that you were here, and we hope that you are warmly greeted by those who are more familiar in our pews than you may be. Today marks the last Sunday before we begin the season of Lent. We will read from the book of Exodus as a reminder of the Hebrew people and their journey through the wilderness. As we remember this ancient story, we can't help but consider our own times of wilderness and the ways that God is present with us in those times. Our food for the journey is the sacred meal of communion, which we will share today. And today we will break the bread and share the cup together. As we do this, a reminder that our communion table as Baptists is open to all. We believe that every believer has the right to choose if they are willing and ready to receive the cup of life and the bread of Christ. Also, just a quick note that all of the bread that will be served today is gluten-free. So if you are in need of gluten-free bread, you can take the same bread as everyone else today. As we prepare ourselves, heart, mind, body, and soul for worship, let us hear these words from Psalm 99. The Lord is great in Zion, exalted over all the peoples. Let us praise your great and holy name. The Lord is enthroned in Zion, the sacred mountain, whose fountain is justice and equity. Worshippers, lift up the Lord our God in your hearts. Express praise and gratitude for all of God's goodness. Let us worship God together.
I'd like to ask that you join me in singing a song at the beginning here. Children of God, we are marching to Zion step by step all the way. That speaks of the journey that many times is just one step at a time, but I think we can also think about it step in step as we gather around one another in community, making that journey together. So let's profess our faith this morning by singing this song, Children of God, We Are Marching to Zion. Would you stand with me? I'll sing it one time through and then ask that you sing it with me. It goes like this. Children of God, we are marching to Zion. Children of God, we are marching to Zion. Children of God, we are marching to Zion. Step by step, all the way. Would you sing it with me? Children of God. Children of God. We are marching. We are marching to Zion. Children of God. We are marching to Zion. Children of God. We are marching to Zion. Step by step all the way. In my walk, you can see me trying. 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 Step by step all the way. Children of God, children of God, we are marching to Zion. Children of God, we are marching to Zion. Children of God, we are marching. Step by step all the way. In my prayer, You can hear me trying. Sing it out, children of God.
Children of God, we are marching to Zion. Children of God, we are marching to Zion. Children of God, we are marching to Zion. Step by step.
All the way. Christians pray. Christians pray that we keep on marching. Christians pray that we keep. Sing it out now, last time, children of God.
Children of God, we are marching to Zion. Children of God, we are marching to Zion. Children of God, we are marching to Zion. Step by step.
Step by step, all the way.
Step by step, all the way.
Last time, make it big.
Step by step, all the way.
Good morning. It's so good to see you here this morning. You may have heard Pastor Chrissy talk a little bit this morning about the wilderness. And there are all kinds of wilderness stories in our Bible. Sometimes people were in the wilderness for a few days. Sometimes they were in the wilderness for a lot of years. And sometimes they were in the wilderness because they wanted to go there. They wanted to escape from everything. You paid attention, didn't you? So sometimes people went to the wilderness because they wanted to, because they wanted to get away from everything else. And sometimes they were in the wilderness because it was the only way to get where they were going. They had to go to the wilderness first to get where they wanted to go. I want to tell you about a time when I went to the wilderness. Now, in Bible times, the wilderness that they talk about is probably looked more like a desert. But here in North Carolina, and when I lived in Georgia going to seminary, wilderness there is more like a forest with a lot of trees and things like that. And so when I lived in Atlanta in seminary, I lived in a big city full of noises and lights and really big buildings, and I wanted to get away. There was always work to do and always things to do, and I needed to escape. And so I escaped to the wilderness of the Appalachian Trail. And I decided I was going to spend about 3 days on the Appalachian Trail, and that meant that I had to take all my food and all my clothes and my tent and sleeping bag, everything I needed, and stuff it all in a backpack. And me and some friends took off for the Appalachian Trail. The day I remember most was the longest day of the trip. We were supposed to hike what we knew was going to be a long trip, but we thought that we were going to be done before it got dark. We knew that we were trying to get to a place where there was a river, and a lot of people would be there going whitewater rafting. So we hiked and we hiked and we hiked and we hiked, and then the sun started going down, and it got darker, and it got darker, and it got darker, and we were still walking, and we were still walking, step by step, just like we just sang. We just kept walking. And remember, we thought we were going to stay near the river, so we would go down this path, and it was really dark and late at night, and we could hear the river. So we thought, we're almost there. And then the trail turned the other direction, and it took us away from the river. And then it would take us back, and we could hear it again, and it would take us back the other way. And it took us a really long time to finally get where we were going. When I got there, I was so tired, I didn't even bother with the tent. I just slept outside. I was too tired to put it up. But what I remember most from that trip is how my friends helped me. I was pretty scared, and I was pretty worried, but my friends helped me. You see, I learned that you should not wear blue jeans to go hiking on the Appalachian Trail. They're too hot. So my friends helped me cut the knees of my jeans so that I could have some air conditioning in my pants, because it was hot. And we all shared our snacks, and there were times where the stuff in my backpack was just too heavy, so they let me take some stuff out of mine and put it in theirs. And eventually, they just started carrying my pack for me part of the time, because I just needed help. And I remember there being one part where it was so scary, and I was having to go over rocks and big limbs and things, and I just couldn't do it. So they held my hand and helped me go across. I had friends helping me. And I also realized that God was there with me, because even though it was dark, we still had the stars and we had the moon that were making it a little bit easier for us to find our way. And we could start hearing that river that let us know that we were almost to where we were going. And I thought, sometimes in life, our wilderness looks way different than that. Sometimes it just looks like a really big problem. Maybe there's something sad going on in our family. Maybe there's something going on at school that we're really nervous about, a big test or something. Or maybe it's auditions or tryouts for a special sports team or a club at school. There are lots of different wildernesses and lots of different really big problems that feel like they're going to last forever that we go through in life. And I want you to remember that you will always have friends and helpers, just like I had on that trip. You'll have your family. You'll have your family here at church who will help you. And God will be there with you, just like God was being the sun and the moon and the stars that day for us. God will be there for you when you go through whatever wilderness you go through. Can you pray with me? Loving and gracious God, thank you for your presence in the wilderness of our life. When we're not sure how to get to the other side, you are with us step by step all the way. In your name we pray. Amen.
Almighty and everlasting God, you work through human events to show your presence and strength. You work through creation to show your might and your power. You work through each of us to show your love and your grace. In this time of worship, we open our hearts, our spirits, our very selves to you. And we seek in this time to hear that still, small voice. The voice that calls us, the voice that claims us, the voice that calls us beloved. Almighty and Creator God, shine in our lives like you do in this world of ours. You maintain life and order and balance, and you are forever making the new. Mend us as needed. Bend us as necessary, so that we may be caught up in your new creation in body and mind and spirit. Holy Spirit, with courage and vulnerability, we pray this day that you would mark us. Place your seal upon us so that we may be filled with zeal for God's work, that we might be the agents of peace and hope and reconciliation. Ah, Holy Jesus, when we do not know what to do, when we are overwhelmed by all that circles around us, give us wisdom to listen, to marvel. Help us in the midst to renew our commitment to follow you, to stay steady on the path all the days of our lives. We pray this day, dear God, that you would transfigure your world as you transfigure your church, that we may all be made new and whole. This morning we pray for those who have needs beyond our power to mend. We pray in confidence and trust, knowing that you alone, are the God of creation, the God of presence, and the God of infinite love, found in the creation, the sustainer, and our holy redeemer, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Let's sing. Jesus shall reign where'er the sun does its excessive journeys run. His kingdom stretch from shore to shore, till sun shall rise and set no more. Blessings abound where'er he reigns. The prisoner leaps to loose her chains. The weary find eternal rest, and all the sons of want. To our King be highest praise, rising through eternal days. Just and faithful he shall reign, Jesus.
Jesus shall reign. People and realms of every tongue dwell on his love with sweetest song. And infant voices shall proclaim their early blessings on his. To our King the highest praise, rising through eternal days. Just and faithful he shall reign, Jesus shall reign. Let every creature rise and bring blessing and honor to our King. Angels descend with songs again, and earth repeat the loud amen. To our King be highest praise, rising through eternal days. Just and faithful he shall reign, Jesus shall reign. To our King, and to our King be highest praise, rising through eternal days. Just and faithful he shall reign, Jesus shall reign.
Please join me in prayer. Gracious God, like Moses, we often seem veiled in our daily lives when given the opportunity to share our splendor. Our minds become focused on the temporary and materialistic. We view the world as our kingdom and not as your kingdom. Lift the veils on our souls so our thoughts and deeds are transformed from any selfish desire to your calling, that we may glow like Moses from the radiance of you, Lord. We offer ourselves and our offerings to you here and now. Amen.
Thank you. For those of you who would like to read along with me, the scripture today comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 34, verses 29 through 35. Moses came down from Mount Sinai. As he came down from the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant in his hand, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, the skin of his face was shining, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses spoke with them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, the Israelites would see the face of Moses. The skin of his face was shining. And Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks, Nathan.
You shine in thy presence.
Pastor April talks about spending time on the Appalachian Trail, and I don't think I've ever even seen the Appalachian Trail. I'm not a hiker. I'm not an outdoors woman. Truth be told, I haven't spent much time in the wilderness. In fact, I really like to avoid it. I try to do that as much as I can. I recognize that there is a certain romance about being outdoors, feeling the sun on the skin, feeling the wind blow, listening to birds chirp, squirrels rustling leaves as they run across. Yes, nature can be very therapeutic, but when you spend more than a few hours outside, also known as the wilderness, you begin to notice, well, the bugs. I love the great outdoors, but unlike my 5-year-old, who I believe might be an entomologist one day, I do not like bugs. The idea of one crawling into my mouth when I'm asleep or crawling across my skin while I'm laying on the ground makes me really not like the great outdoors. It's kept me far away from tents and other long-term wilderness experiences for most of my life. Nana Bridges used to tell me that there are two kinds of camping. There is camper camping, and then there is camping at the Holiday Inn. Nana Bridges is a Holiday Inn kind of girl, and I suppose that I am too. But Grandma Tatum taught me about another kind of camping, which is Airstream camping. It's kind of a hybrid. I always remember spending weekends with her and my grandfather up at Palmetto Cove, which is an Airstream park near Caesar's Head State Park in South Carolina. Every summer, they hosted a grandchildren's weekend in which kids from, you know, the grandchildren of the Airstreamers would go up and spend a weekend with their grandparents. There wasn't much to do except for learning how to play skip-bow and playing in the mountain stream that ran behind the campground. When I married into Justin's family, I learned about yet another kind of camping, tent camping. This is for the folks who truly love a real wilderness experience. His version of my grandchildren's weekend in the Airstream is a week-long outdoor experience in New Mexico. His grandparents would pack tents and food supplies that would keep them dry and last them for the duration of the week. Yes, there are many different kinds of camping, and there are many kinds of wilderness experiences. This morning, we meet Moses in the wilderness. And this was not Moses' first time out there in the wild. Remember his encounter with the burning bush? Or how about the Red Sea when it parted? But this particular wilderness for Moses is the one that takes the cake. For 40 years after their liberation from Egyptian captivity, Moses and the Israelites wandered in the wilderness. For the Hebrew people, the wilderness was kind of an inhospitable dwelling. Their daily portions of manna and quail that God provided grew old, and the reality of the promised land where milk and honey were flowing seemed too far in the distance. Many of them reflected on their time in Egypt, saying, "At least there we had plenty to eat and drink." But the wilderness for the Israelites was also a safe haven. It was a place where they were free from the oppression of Pharaoh. Throughout their wilderness journey, the Hebrew people were led by God, working through the elements of nature. Remember the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. They may have remembered the creation story in which God hovers over the wild, stirring up creation, making order out of chaos. Or maybe they had heard the story of Hagar, who escapes into the wilderness and is met by God out there. It appears, at least according to the story of the Hebrew people, that Yahweh is a God who lives and moves and works in the wilderness. If Moses and his people knew these stories, then they might have believed that God was indeed in the midst of something, that God was leading them towards something better, or at least that God would deliver on the promise of the land that flowed with milk and honey. Wilderness is kind of an on-the-way place. In the biblical stories, it is not a final destination. Rather, it is the setting for an unpredictable and undefined journey. And yet we have learned from the ancient stories that God meets us in these wildernesses. There are many different kinds of wilderness. And I wonder if any of us have experienced them in our own lives. And I also wonder if we have learned for ourselves that God indeed meets us in the wilderness. Wilderness might look like a cancer diagnosis or an inconclusive test. It may look like a new baby in first days at home. It may look like underemployment or financial instability. It may look like entering into a difficult conversation with someone we love. Or maybe it looks like taking a step of faith and leaning into the unknown, leaving the comfort of home behind. Hagar left Abraham's homestead in Canaan, and Scripture says that she was seen by God in the wilderness, the first in the Hebrew Bible. Moses left his place, his home place at Pharaoh's palace, and found God in the burning bush. The Hebrew people left Egyptian captivity, and they saw God parting the Red Sea. They were led by God in the pillars of cloud and fire that guided them through the wilderness, each of them following God's calling away from what was known and into the unknown wild of the wilderness. The Israelites were certainly tested along the way, and they grew weary because the journey was long, as wilderness journeys can be. From time to time, they lost sight of the dream, and they lost hope in the promised land. They acted out, and they failed to uphold their side of the covenant, but God did not leave them alone to wander through the wilderness. God provided them with a leader, Moses. And during their entire Exodus journey, Moses would go up and meet with God, sometimes in a tent outside of camp and sometimes on the mountaintop at Sinai. Today's reading from Exodus comes when Moses is descending from Mount Sinai after meeting with God. Moses is coming down with a renewed covenant inscribed upon the tablets, which we know as the final version of the Ten Commandments. And the text says that Moses' face shone brightly because he had been in the presence of God. Just like that burning bush, just like the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud, Moses' face shone, and it became a visual representation of God's physical presence in the wilderness. When I was a teenager, I would often attend youth retreats, much like the one our students are on today. We would talk about these times away as mountaintop experiences. And I can remember going away and feeling so close to God, but the challenge came when I returned home. And then I had to sustain that proximity, that closeness, that deep spiritual connection. As an adult, it seems even harder to find those places, to get away. There are not as many opportunities for retreat, to seek out those mountaintop experiences, those times of renewal and communion with God. And to make matters worse, the wilderness of life seemed to be growing and multiplying. There are daily responsibilities and important decisions to be made. There are financial and social and professional stressors. The world seems to grow more complex and more disappointing than ever. Yes, the wild and untamed wilderness of life as an adult feels like it's growing as fast as a kudzu vine, blocking the way to the mountaintop where God might be waiting with a promise of hope and a path to promised land. I imagine that you might feel this way too in some of your own wildernesses. There are many kinds of wildernesses, and sometimes it's difficult to know how or where God is. I can remember one particular Airstream adventure with the Tatum grandparents. My sister and I were crammed into the back of a very, very old Suburban, which was pulling a 26-foot Airstream camper behind it. We were driving up mountain roads and going around tight curves, and I was sitting next to the window, and at one point I could see the camper out the side window. I wondered if it would make the sharp turn. And I could see it falling off the side of the mountain, pulling not only the Suburban, but all of us within it. I will never forget feeling like I might die on that mountain road, but I will also never forget the way that Grandma Tatum's voice sounded when she turned around and put her hand on my knee and assured me that while I was scared and while I was uncertain and while I couldn't believe that we would make it to the other side, she and Grandpa had been there before. They had driven the same roads. They had pulled the same trailer. They had spent many, many, many times in the old Suburban, and they knew exactly what they were doing. And they would be with us the whole way. The confidence in her voice in the odometer reading on that old Suburban stood as proof for me that we would indeed survive this wilderness. We would indeed make it through these mountain roads. They were the visual representations that my guides, Grandma and Grandpa Tatum, had been there before. They gave me hope that we would get through this alive and together. In much the same way, the radiant face of Moses reminded his people that they would get through their wilderness alive and together. That God had indeed been there before and that God would deliver them to their destination. Now, Grandma and Grandpa Tatum have been gone for over 10 years now. They no longer drive that old Suburban. They no longer pull an Airstream. They no longer guide me through the wilderness of the North Carolina mountains. I imagine that you can probably remember some of your own wilderness guides. Maybe they're family members or wise friends or saints of this church who have led you through some of the most difficult moments of your life. Like the face of Moses and the confident assurance of my grandparents, these guides, they stood to remind us that we are not the first to go through a difficult wilderness. We are not the first ones, and we will make it through. They remind us, most importantly, that we are not alone. With both Moses and the saints from our past gone, I wonder whose face is shining with the radiance of God's Spirit. I wonder who are those pillars of cloud and fire in our midst who might be there for us as we continue on our wilderness journey together. And just as I wonder, I remember our mission statement that says, every member a minister. And it reminds me that we are all guides to one another. We are all called to meet God on the mountaintop and to radiate the presence of God to one another. We may not be able to get away on retreat for 40 days like Moses did, but we certainly have opportunities to experience God's presence here, one glimpse at a time. Just yesterday, I saw it in the faces of our children as they gathered to plant lettuce in the garden over there on the side. They were excited and joyful and confident that God was using them to feed the world. Their faces were radiant. It shone on their faces. It reminded all of us adults who might have forgotten that God is with us and God is working through us and calling us to bring joy and wonder and love out into the world. And I saw it a couple of weeks ago on the faces of Nancy Register and Deanna Choplin. They spoke to us about Buddy Break and the ministry that it provides in our city. As Deanna spoke, her radiance shone throughout the room, and she reminded us that God is with us and God is using us to bring rest to those in need of renewal. You may not realize it, but your faces shine. They shine with radiance as you tell stories of the work that you do in Lumberton. As you serve one another dinner on Wednesday nights, as you remember the largest crockpot cook-off in our history, as you receive new members into the life of this church, and as you support one another in your day-to-day struggles, your faces are radiant. You are radiant. You are shining with love for one another, and you may not know it, but you serve as a visual reminder to each other that God is in this wilderness with us. There are so many different kinds of wilderness. And no matter how long the journey is, we are here to remind one another that we are in it together. There will be moments along the way when we can't see the path. But in those moments, we can look at the faces of our neighbors, of our fellow travelers, and we can see the radiance of God's presence and the reality of God's promise. And we can be assured all along the way that we are never alone. Thanks be to God. one of the most vivid ways that we remember God's presence with us is this table, God's holy meal. Christ invites all people to this table, all who love God and who earnestly seek to repent of their sins and seek peace with one another and with God. All who hunger and thirst to know the presence of Christ in their lives are welcome at this table of God's grace. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the extravagant love that you have shown to us in the life of Christ. We give you thanks for meeting us as we are and for calling us your beloved. We give you thanks for the spirit in which you call us forward and for meeting us in the many wildernesses of our lives. And most of all, we give you thanks for the holy mystery of this table and for the grace that we encounter at it. As we receive this holy meal, remind us that the grace we find in communion is not limited to this place and time. Remind us that your gift is ours to share anywhere, everywhere, and with all people. Call us to go about our lives from this moment on, radiating your love and seeking your peace and bringing your comfort to all of those in need. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen. On the night that Jesus was arrested, he found himself at a table with his friends and followers. And at that dinner, he took a loaf of bread, and after giving thanks, he blessed it and broke it and said, "This is my body given for you. Take and eat." In the same way, also, he took a cup and he poured it out, saying, "This is the cup of life poured out for you." Each time you gather around this table and partake of this holy meal, do so in remembrance of Jesus, who gave his life for us. Friends, the table is ready. Come and receive God's gift of grace. body of Christ broken for you. This is the cup of life poured out for you. Now let us greet one another with the peace of Christ. The peace of Christ be with you.
As you make it back to your seat, you might turn in your hymnal to 682. Let's spend a moment making commitments as we leave today. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Perhaps this gives you language that you need for this time of commitment. But if you have something you'd like to come down front to say to Christy, offer a prayer request, a commitment you're making this morning, she'd be more than happy to greet you as you come forward. Let's sing.
Guide me, O thou great Jehovah.
Why don't you take a seat one moment?
We are so glad to receive into membership today. Folks who are joining us as transfer of letter after visiting with us for 2 years. So it is about time, I think we like to say. This is Samuel Kelly and Hadley Roberts, and they are joining us from a sister church in Wake Forest. If you rejoice with me and celebrate their desire to become a member of Greystone Baptist Church, will you join me in saying, thanks be to God?
Thanks be to God.
And as is our custom, when we receive new members into our fellowship, let us stand and say together our mission statement, which is printed on the back of our worship guides. With Christ as the cornerstone, we will build a church of living stones where every member is a minister and is equipped to express God's love by word and deed to all people. Sam, Kelly, and Hadley, we rejoice in your desire to join us. And folks, you are all invited to come down front and to greet them as you leave worship today. For just a moment, we'll ask that you sit on the front pew and we'll continue with the last few things of worship.
Right. So I know you will want to come forward and greet the Roberts family. What a great day for Greystone. There are some things that you should remember as you leave. First of all, you should pray, brothers and sisters, pray, because there is a van, two van loads of middle schoolers and high schoolers who are coming back from a weekend of overstimulation, and they are exhausted, and they're just teens, and so pray. Pray for us parents as we move into this afternoon with irrational people. But they've had a great weekend. We've seen the pictures, some of us, and we cannot wait to hear all about their retreat this weekend. But tonight, I do want you to come back because as we mark ourselves as Christian by what we do at this table and what we do in these waters, how we mark ourselves as Baptist is that we come back on random nights like tonight and have a church and conference. You see, as Baptists, there are no boards that make decisions for us or sessions, or there's no bishop. There's you. And so as members of this community, it is the community that comes together and makes decisions on behalf of our community, for the betterment of our community, and for the future of our community. So come back tonight for church and conference. It'll be in this room at 5 o'clock. Also, we are going to enter into Lent this week. Before we get to Wednesday, though, there is Tuesday. And on Tuesday, there are pancakes. So we're going to gather together at IHOP on Six Forks Road, and we're going to participate in the ancient tradition of Shrove Tuesday, and we're going to eat as many pancakes as we can. And then on Wednesday, come back. Come to this space at 6:30 for our Ash Wednesday service. Feel free to join us for dinner right before that in the fellowship hall, but our Ash Wednesday service will be here at 6:30. And then finally, next Sunday, what a wonderful moment in the life of Greystone. Greystone will install her fifth pastor. So Chrissy's been around for a while, and we kind of have lost a little bit of that newness now that we're 2 months into it. But it is time for us to stop, to take a measure, and to make a covenant together. So come to this installation service next Sunday at 5 o'clock, and as a service of prayer, as a service of encouragement, it is a service where we will enter into covenant together, a pastor and her church. What a wonderful, wonderful celebration. So there's much to do in the life of this church and in the life of this community. As we leave, know that Christ is our sure and steady rock, and on that foundation, we stand and serve and be.
Thank you.
Friends, we have come together, we have gathered, we have celebrated with new members joining, and we have communed at God's table of grace. As you leave today, may you leave with the assurance that God is with you on every wilderness journey upon which you find yourself. And as you walk that journey, may you do so with this blessing. May God bless you and keep you. May God give you the grace never to sell yourself short, grace to risk something big for something good, and grace to remember that the world is now too dangerous for anything but truth and too small for anything but love. So may God take your feet and move through them. May God take your hands and work through them. And may God take your hearts and set them on fire. Amen.